I want you to get your Bible out and turn to John chapter number 15. This morning I announced the sermon's title. It's called Full Joy. Full, F-U-L-L, Joy. John chapter number 15, once you arrive at John 15, I'd like you to find verse number 10. And once you're to that point, why don't you go ahead and stand with me, John chapter 15, verse number 10. Again, let's make sure that we don't disrupt and listen very carefully. The preaching won't take long, but let's be able to concentrate and settle our minds and look at what God has for us this evening. John chapter 15, starting with verse number 10, the Bible says this, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you." Verse number 11 is where we get the sermon where God said that your joy might be full. Full joy is the sermon. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. We live in difficult days, Lord. And if we were not careful, we could be discouraged as Christians, but yet you told us we could have joy, and not just joy, but full joy. Tonight, might our spirits and attitudes be lifted, challenged, and changed. And Lord, help us not just to hear the sermon tonight, but help us to live it tomorrow. Bless us now in a supernatural way. Reach down from heaven, calm the crowd, stir the Holy Ghost of God in our midst, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. In John chapter 15, these words that we just read, there, if you have a red letter edition of a Bible, those words were spoken by Jesus. Now let me explain. He spoke the black letters too, but the ones that are in red means that's while he was here on this earth. But he spoke that. He's the one that said, "And that ye your joy might be full." When I was preparing this sermon, I got to thinking years ago. I had a Sunday school class that was set up for young married couples. I had a young lady, her and her husband came to my Sunday school class, and her name was Joy. And Joy was Filipino. And I have to tell you this about Joy. Joy was always smiling. You could see Joy coming across the parking lot of the church, big old smile on her face. Be very honest, I don't think I ever seen Joy that she was not happy. Joy was always smiling and laughing, and it was contagious. Joy would, there could be people standing at the back door of our Sunday school class without a smile on their face. Joy would be approaching. They would look at her smiling and would smile back. And as she would pass by, taking her smile with her, she left a smile behind with them. And it was just contagious. I got to tell you, when I was preparing this sermon, I thought her name was indicative of her attitude. Her name was indicative of her attitude. I wonder if your name was based on your attitude. Would we call you grumpy? Stinky? Sleepy? Grouchy? Gloomy? Gripey? But I think it is quite a compliment when we can say someone named Joy, her attitude and her name matched up. I draw our attention to this verse, John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I like those words. Joy might be full, and that my joy might remain in you. Jesus desires that his joy remain in us. If his joy remains in us, then we would have fullness of joy. Now, understand something. There is an implication here. It implies that if you can have full joy, then maybe you can have half full joy. Are you full of joy? Are you half full of joy? Are you a third full of joy? Or do you feel like you're running near empty on joy? God wants us to have full joy. 1 Peter 1:8 uses these words. He speaks of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, there's a quality there. It says this joy is unspeakable. In other words, words don't describe well this wonderful thing called joy for the Christian. And also the word full is used in that verse. That is a quantity. So when it talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory, it is talking about a quality of joy, also a quantity of joy. Joy is a spiritual quality. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Now, let me explain something to you. I have never seen someone that is truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God that's depressed all the time. Your depression is in part, not all, but your depression in part is the absence of the Holy Spirit being in control of your spirit. A Christian, joy can fluctuate in quantity. Psalm 51:12, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What had happened? David had sinned. And because of David's choice, his joy had been retracted. It wasn't because of God, it was because of David. And David said, I need a refill on my joy, or I need to kickstart my joy. But a Christian is never empty of joy. You say, I just don't have any joy. I'm not sure that that's supposed to be possible. You say, why? Well, let me explain. Luke chapter 10, verse 20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Now, let's see here. If you're a Christian, that means your name's written in heaven, and you're not supposed to rejoice about all the other stuff. You're supposed to rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And do you know God doesn't have an eraser where your name, it's written in heaven, then it's erased out, and then it's written in heaven, then it's erased out, and it's written in heaven, then it's erased out. No, your name is always in heaven, and He said if you want something that you can always rejoice about, realize you're saved. Your name's in heaven. So if tomorrow's the crummiest day that you can have on earth, you say, well, what should I do? Just think about the fact that this world is not your home and you're just a passing through, and you might be having a crummy day on earth, but your name is written in heaven and nobody can take that away from you. So there is a joy that's always available for the Christian. If you say, I'm just down and I can't find anything to get me up, well, what's wrong with you? You're saved and you're on your way to heaven. You always have something that can get your spirit up. And that's what he said. He said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You know, there is a joy that no man can take from you. According to the Bible, John 16:22 says, and you know, therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Listen very carefully. Somebody else can't take your joy. You give it up. You say, I'm so angry at him, I've lost my joy. He didn't take your joy. You gave it to him. I'm so angry at her. This is just so frustrating. It's ruining my day. You gave up your joy. The Bible says no man can take your joy. You surrender your joy. You can actually be full of joy, but it gets better than that. You can be overflowing with joy. Beyond capacity. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's joy to full capacity, but the amount of joy that you have exceeded your receptacle. Joy unspeakable, full, overflowing. James chapter 1, verse number 2, it talks about we can have all joy. Now, folks, we live in a negative world. We live in a depressed world. But Christians are supposed to be different. Yesterday morning, I had the privilege, every Saturday morning, I run the bus meeting and all the bus workers. And we meet and we sing a song every Saturday morning. And yesterday I told him, I said, everybody stand up there on your back feet and we're going to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And we all sang. And let me tell you something, anybody that came in that was a little bit gloomy and anybody that came into the bus meeting that was a little bit tired, anybody that had a hard week, it wasn't but just a few moments. They were singing and they had a big smile on their face. And we said, we've got that joy down in our heart. And we said, if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on a bomb. Boom. Set on a bomb. Boom. We're bombing the devil. And they all like that. And we were all smiling. Why? Because we have a joy that's unspeakable. And it's glorious. And it can overflow. And it's something that God wants us to have. We are in this world, folks, but we're not of this world. Now, let me make some applications for you. Let me show you. Full joy comes from being in God's presence. Full joy comes from being in God's presence. Listen to this verse. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I'm going to tell you why some of you don't have full joy. You're never in God's presence. Look, you say, I want to be happy. I want to be victorious. I want to be on top side. Get to God. Somebody depressed me. Well, get to God. He won't. So I have my attitude is just crummy and down. Get to God. You know what's required of me? I'm supposed to have a good attitude. And I try to have a good attitude. I try pretty hard to be positive and be on top side and no matter what comes. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad Mrs. Owens, she contributes to my spirit. I'm glad of that. My kids contribute to my spirit and I'm glad of that. I'm going to tell you all something. There's no human being alive that could keep my spirit where it needs to be. But there's one person. And every day of my life, I get up and I spend time with that one that can take my spirit from depressed and down and defeated and get me on top side and get me the joy that is full and the joy that's unspeakable. And when you are having a bad day, get to God. Get to God. Because here it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Walk with God. Get to God. You say, I'm down. Get to God. Now, some of you, when you're down, you reach out to me. I'm glad and I'll try to help you, but I can't always be available to you. But I can tell you somebody that's always available. God. God. Fullness of joy comes from being in the presence of God. Secondly, fullness of joy comes from being filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Romans 14:17 speaks of joy in the Holy Ghost. Folks, being yielded to the Holy Spirit will produce full joy. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't deny His slightest request. I can tell you this for sure. The happiest times of my life, the most victorious times in my life is when I am closest and in most surrender to the Spirit of God. Have you ever truly, totally surrendered yourself to the Spirit of God? Some of you, you're going to cheat yourself. You're going to go all the way through this life thinking half of the Christian life is a hoax. Sure, they talk it up, and you can have joy in difficult situations. Sure, sure, sure. And the reason why you don't believe it's possible, because you've never been truly filled with the Holy Ghost of God, where you could have fullness of joy, because you don't get fullness of joy by walking in the flesh. You get fullness of joy by walking in the Spirit. But let's go on. Full joy comes from being in God's presence. Full joy comes from being filled with the Spirit of God. Full joy comes from a life full of preaching. Full of preaching. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 24 says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Let me tell you what's happening. Paul is preaching to the Corinthian people, and he's saying, my preaching will help your joy. Now, Paul is preaching to them. Do you know that preaching will help your joy? As a pastor, part of my job is to help your joy. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm teaching you I'm preaching to you about the availability of full joy. That's what's supposed to happen. I'm to preach things that will protect you. And in that obedience to the Scripture, that'll produce joy. I'm to warn you of things that will squelch your joy. But let me tell you, folks, gossip will squelch your joy. A negative attitude will squelch your joy. Your disloyalty to your church will squelch your joy. There's somebody in here, you're mad at me right now. And I'll tell you what, you're not happy at home. You're not happy. What's happened? Something squelched your joy. Folks, preaching helps people to find their joy. So that means this. If we have Sunday school Sunday morning, and then Sunday church Sunday morning, and Sunday night church, and then Wednesday night church, four times a week, you can have a contribution to joy. Now, if you only come to one service, then you're only getting 25% of the joy that can be produced from preaching. Now, if you come to two services, now you can get 50% of it. But there are people that will run on 25% and wonder why they don't have joy. Or, hey, you miss enough church, you say, well, you know, I've been out of church so very much. And I understand people get sick, and I understand work schedules. But sometimes people just stay home, and then they wonder why they don't have joy. Well, preaching produces joy. I think we are a happy church. I think we're a joyous church. But I'll tell you this also, we're a church full of preaching. Do you know that on our bus routes, our bus captains, they'll get up and they'll preach? We've got children's church, and they preach to the kids. And then we've got primary church, and they preach to the kids. And we've got Youth Ablaze, and they preach to the kids. And then you've got a pastor who is a loudmouth that can preach two or three sermons before he ever stands up to preach the sermon. I could preach a whole sermon during announcement time. And they have a youth activity, and Brother Ellswick preaches. And then, hey, you know what? We will go to a funeral and preach and have 27 people saved. And then we will go to a wedding and preach and we'll have people saved. And you know something? We are a happy church. We are a joy-filled church. But the Bible teaches, Paul said, preaching helps your joy. So if you want full joy, you got to get to God's presence. If you want full joy, the Bible teaches fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you want full joy, then that'll come by filling your life with preaching. And let me tell you this. If you say, well, you know what, preacher, I still struggle with my spirit. My attitude is still negative. And I come to all four of the services. Then maybe you ought to listen to some preaching at home. And I'm not talking about half the wackos on television that will teach you wrong. I'm talking about good old-fashioned, proper preaching from somebody that really, truly believes the Bible. So, but if you say, I need a little bit more, I maybe I'm crazy. But if it's Tuesday and I'm having a rough day, I don't go see my psychologist. I pop a preaching CD in. You know what? It helps me. It helps me. Let me go on. Full joy comes from a life full of preaching. Number four. Full joy comes from a life full of God's Word. Full of God's Word. 1 John 1:4 says, and these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Now understand something. John is writing the Word of God, and he said, the Word of God will help you to have full joy. God uses the Word of God to give you joy. Get this. The Word of God, the more the Word of God, the more joy. The less the Word of God, the less joy. So when you stop reading your Bible, you're not only stopping the actual physical act of reading His Word, you are messing with your own spirit. You say, but Pastor, I'm reading my Bible and I'm still having a hard time with my joy. Then let me suggest this. Read it more. If you said to me, Pastor, I don't have enough gas to get from here to Jacksonville, what should I do? I'd put more gas in your car. Well, isn't there another solution? Just get the gas. You say, the Bible promises that I will have joy by staying in my Bible, and I don't have enough joy, then maybe you don't have enough Bible. Matter of fact, let me ask you, How much time do you spend in your Bible every day? Let me ask you, depressed people. How much time do you spend in your Bible? Well, I don't want to be depressed. Read your Bible. It's where joy comes from. And John promised, he said, the words I write into you will help you to have full joy. More Bible, more joy. Less Bible, less joy. If you fill your life with the Word of God, you're filling your life with potential joy. So, we're looking for this thing called joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're looking for an overflow of joy. We're looking for a quality and a quantity of joy. Well, how do I get it? I get to God's presence. How do I get it? I walk in the Spirit. How do I get it? I listen to the right kind of preaching. How do I get it? I get to the Word of God. Then, I believe that full joy comes from a life of soul winning and being concerned for the souls of men. John chapter 15, verse number 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Huh. It's talking about somebody getting saved. Do you know the Bible says, get this, you all do understand that they're already filled up with joy up in heaven. Right? I mean, it's joy all the time, right? Well, now it says when somebody down here gets saved, there's more joy. I would guess if you're already at a place that's completely full of joy and then they increase it, we went from a level 5 party to a level 10 party. You say, who is it? It said there's joy in the presence of the angels when a sinner repents or when a sinner gets saved. You say, well, who's in the presence of the angels? Well, God the Father's there. And when somebody gets saved, God the Father says, wow, woo, all right, that's good. And then the Holy Spirit's there. And when somebody gets saved, he says, woo, somebody got saved. And Jesus is there. And when somebody gets saved, Jesus says, woo, somebody got saved. You say, who else is there? The saints of God are there, and they're whooping it up. They're saying, woo, somebody got saved. That's fantastic. Wow. Listen, if there's joy in heaven over somebody getting saved, don't you think you ought to start practicing? You're going. And those of you that don't care when the altar call is given, you're thinking, how can I get out of here as quick as I possibly can? Let me tell you, when you get to heaven, you're staying for the altar call. You're staying. And you know what? You're going to be happy. Because God is going to wipe that frown off your face, and He is going to make you happy, whether you like it or not. That what joy. Now, let me tell you something. If you, those of you that know something about winning people to Jesus, when you win someone to Jesus, that's real good for your attitude. That's real good for your spirit. If you're ever depressed, let me tell you something you can do. Go get you a gospel tract and get you a Bible and go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Get them saved. You'll walk away saying, boy, that was good. Woo! Ah, that was something. What? We're talking about full joy. So full joy comes from a life of soul winning. I think one of the reasons our church is happy, we're always after souls. We had people saved in the service this morning. I had somebody come to me and said, on the bus ride home today, we had somebody saved. I had somebody told me the other day, I was at the grocery store, had somebody saved. Thursday night, Brother Young texted me, and they were out soul winning, and on our Thursday night soul winning, he texted me, he said, had two people from my Sunday school class, got saved tonight. That's enough to make me happy. I think some churches are depressed. I'll tell you why. They're not getting anybody saved. Well, in this day and age, Jesus is just as much a Savior as He always has been. The Holy Ghost is as powerful as ever. And you know something? People are worse sinners than ever. But His hand is not short that He cannot save. And so, joy comes from soul winning. Some of you during our fall program, we're going to teach soul winning so you can learn a little more about it. If I were a depressed person, I'd want to figure out how to win souls to Christ because that could contribute to your joy. You don't have to go get drunk or go get high. You could learn to be a soul winner. You could listen to a little bit more preaching. You could walk in God's presence. You could really learn to pray. And it would take care of a lot of the absence of joy in your life. Let's go on. Full joy, and please get this, full joy can come from a proper understanding of sorrow. Proper understanding of sorrow. Let me read a verse to you. Paul said of himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, he said about himself, he said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You say, how's that possible? I'm sorrowful, but yet always rejoicing. I'm sorry for my circumstances, but my spirit is stable, and my eyes are on Jesus, and I have faith to know that everything's going to be fine. So my circumstances are gloomy, but my heart has faith in God. So I've got gloomy circumstances, but I've got a hopeful, joyous spirit because I know God's in charge, and I know I'm on the winning side, and I know I'm saved. That's why Paul could say, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Listen to this verse. John 16:20, verily, 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 I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Look, when we go through difficult times, our circumstance may be rough and our circumstance might be harsh, but wait a minute, keep your eyes on the Lord during that circumstance. And he said, I can be sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Did you know that you could be hurting about a loss? But that does not necessarily have to depress every area of your life. If you suffer a loss, you may hurt in that area, but wait a minute, you still have a few bucks in your pocket. Hey, wait a minute, you still have your health. Wait a minute, you still have your job. Wait a minute, you may still have your husband or still have your wife or still have your son or still have your daughter or still have your salvation or you're still an American. Wait, so you took a hit in an area, but you didn't take a hit in every area. You can be sorrowful yet rejoicing. So we're even to have an element of joy during sorrow. You know, no matter what you lose, you still have your salvation. So, how do I get full joy? I get full joy by being in the presence of God. I get full joy by walking in the Spirit. I get full joy by having a life full of preaching. I get full joy by spending time in God's Word. I get full joy by my soul winning. I get full joy by properly understanding that sorrow does not have to take over my entire life, because if I'm hurting in one category, I've got 9 other categories of blessing and joy, and I can be sorrowful yet rejoicing. Full joy comes when your life is surrendered and you're sacrificial for Jesus. Full joy comes when your life is full of sacrifice for Jesus. This will be my last point, and then I'll get you on your way home. Psalm chapter 43, verse number 4 says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Notice, he said, I'm going to go to the altar. And when I go to the altar, I'm going to connect with the exceeding joy. Now, the altar is a place of sacrifice. When they would, the Old Testament altar, they would sacrifice things to God. So I think there's a couple of things being taught here. I think that when you and I, when we sacrifice for the sake of God, we sacrifice for the sake of Jesus Christ or His church, I believe that there's a joy that comes from that. You all remember back when we really wanted God to give us this building? And you know, out of all the buildings we looked at, this was the one that was most unreachable. And this was the one that was most ridiculous to think that we would get. But we decided we'd do everything we could to make it happen. And so a whole bunch of people sacrificed. I remember how happy we were because of the sacrifice. Now, I think we were happy because God gave us the building. But I got to really tell you, I think the joy was the willingness to sacrifice to get the building, not necessarily the getting of the building. Because God blesses sacrifice. He brings joy. You know, I don't know about all of you, but in the times in my life when I have sacrificed, once or twice in life, I've sacrificed a little bit to help my kids. I'm not helping them anymore, by the way. But I sacrifice to help my kids. And in so sacrificing, I have to tell you, there's a little something in a daddy's heart that just makes me pretty happy. When I've sacrificed to help people, and I don't mean, you know, I had abundance and I gave a little. I mean, when I sacrificed and I looked at it for what it was worth, this is a little beyond me, but I'm gonna help. There's a joy that comes when you sacrifice. And I think that's exactly. He said, when I go to the altar and I sacrifice, that sacrifice, it's good for it. It's got a humble lifting of my spirit. But not only that, it connects exceeding joy to the altar. I really believe every once in a while somebody just needs to come to the altar and get some things straightened out. You want to know why there's an absence of joy in your life? When's the last time you went to the altar and just got some things straightened out with God? You backslidden? There's a good... backslidden people are depressed people. Get to God. Straighten it out at the altar. You'll go to the altar, gloom, doom, depressed, negative. You're leaving the church. You're mad. You're mad about this. You're mad about that. Well, get right with God. Go to the altar. Get yourself right with God so you can get up and get a smile on your face and you can get your joy back. Do you know something? If you're sour and you run from God, did you know you're going to take the sour you wherever you're going? Location doesn't change your bad attitude. Getting right with God changes a bad attitude. We preach and we say, if you're getting drunk, you ought to hit the altar. If you're smoking dope, you ought to hit the altar. If you're committing adultery, you ought to hit the altar. You know what? If you don't have right joy, you ought to hit the altar. You ought to hit the altar. God is depending on you and I as His representatives in this world. Hey, we're going to have moments, we're going to have tough times, we're going to face burdens and heartaches. But remember, even in the sorrow, there's an element of joy. The world's depressed and negative, and you can't satisfy the world. You and I are different. He talks about a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. Glorious joy is ours. Full joy is what I call the sermon. Remember, the implication is if full joy is available, then half full is available. A third full is available. And nobody can take your joy, because the Bible says nobody can take it from you. You give it up. You say, well, I'm empty of joy. Again, not possible. Because if you're saved, you have joy in the fact your name's written in heaven. You might not take advantage of that, but the joy is totally available. All you have to do is look at what you have instead of looking at what you don't have, and you'll have joy in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Really, there's some of you, your spirit is terrible. You've got a bad attitude. You're negative. What's wrong? What's up with your joy? What happened to your joy? You used to love the Lord, you don't. You used to love your church, you don't. You used to love the people of the church, you don't. There's some of you used to love your pastor. You don't. You're a fake. You're a fraud. What's wrong? What happened to your joy? You lose it? You let it go because of disobedience? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We'll have an altar call. Who here would say, preacher, God has challenged my heart tonight. I've been challenged. I've learned something. I want to help myself through the Scripture and obedience to the Scripture that I've heard. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. God bless you. Amen. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. But hey, I'm not asking you to come if you've been drinking. I'm not asking you to come if you've been committing adultery or fornicating. I'm not asking you to come tonight because you're listening to filthy music or you're robbing your boss or you're stealing from God the tithe. I'm asking you, is your joy right with God? And if it's not, maybe you ought to walk and sacrifice at the altar an attitude. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. They're young people. You used to have a far better attitude than what you have, but your joy has been diminished. Joy by walking in the presence of God. Joy by walking in the Spirit. Joy by filling our life with preaching and the right kind. Joy by reading our Bibles, joy by winning others to Jesus Christ, joy by understanding that we can be sorrowful in an area and yet We can be joyful in other areas of life. Joy by sacrificing, letting the altar help us get our hearts right. Joy. What's happened to your joy? Joy because the spirits are subject to us. We're to have joy because our names are written in heaven. We're born again. We're saved. We live in tough times. Well, you turn the television on, that'll steal your spirit. Just watch the news, watch everything going on. But within a depressed generation of people, there can be joy. I love what he said there in John 15. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." It's interesting. He said in John 6:22, "But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Somebody else can't take your joy. You give it up. You surrender it. You respond wrong. So your joy is taken. Thank you, Rachel.